We come to the great feast, the great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a feast day for which we have been preparing. We've been looking forward to it. Now it has arrived. It's a feast day of love, a celebration of love. It's an attempt, you could say, to capture the mystery of God's love in a way that reveals itself fully to us. Now, when we say, well, how is the love of God revealed to us? The cross and resurrection are the key. Jesus himself said, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life. So that's what we see on the cross, the great revelation of divine love. And the resurrection, love more powerful than death. But the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which also flows from Easter, is another and a very appealing way of celebrating this divine, eternal, merciful love. So it's a kind of whole package of everything that is included in our faith. That's why it's a little hard to know quite where to start. I'm going to start with the interesting correspondence, what's the word, that today's Feast of the Sacred Heart falls on Independence Day, at least in the Philippines. This is significant. I mean, this is a national holiday, a very important one, Independence Day, and it's a huge solemnity in the church, a very important one. So they go together. They both land on June 12 this year. Well, Independence Day is an important day in civic life because it celebrates freedom, it celebrates victory, it celebrates the sacrifices that are demanded for preserving freedom. The overthrow of oppressors, the heroic love of country that we celebrate in National Heroes. That's why it's important to celebrate Independence Day. And every year on June 12, Independence Day. Well, what we celebrate in civic life or in the political sphere is reflected or is a reflection of the greater celebration of the greater liberation, the greater freedom that we receive from Jesus Christ. It's one thing to be set free from an oppressive colonizer or oppressive government. It's one thing to be able to be free to express and choose one's leaders and have freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of the press and all these things. It's another thing to be set free from the domination of sin and death, the domination of the evil one. And the cost of freedom, which we recognize is a steep cost when it comes to opposing evil governments, is a greater cost when it comes to setting us free from sin. That's why the greatest love is revealed by Jesus on the cross. He sets us free not simply from Pharaoh or from any colonizer, but from sin and death. So it's an interesting correspondence to have the Feast of the Sacred Heart fall on Independence Day. I looked it up. I said, this must happen once in a while. So, yes, it turns out the last time this happened was in the year 2015, so 11 years ago. Then I asked the AI, well, when's the next one? It said, well, 2037, 11 years from now. So it makes it seem like every 11 years. I don't know if that's just happens that it was 11 years ago, 2015, then here 2026, and then 11 years from now, this will happen again. But the date of Independence Day is historically fixed. The date on which we celebrate the Sacred Heart is not fixed. It's always connected to, first of all, going back, Feast of Corpus Christi, when the revelations of the Sacred Heart were given. It was to Margaret Mary. She was told after an octave after the Feast of Corpus Christi, celebrate the Sacred Heart. Well, that's when Corpus Christi was on a Thursday. Now it's not an octave, but Corpus Christi was celebrated on a Sunday. The Feast of Corpus Christi is always based on the date of Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is always 1 week after Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is always the 50th day after Easter. So, and people who follow the liturgical life know this progression. Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, Holy Trinity, Corpus Christi, Sacred Heart. So Sacred Heart is not just a date that happens to fall whenever it falls and it happens to fall on June 12th. It's like a culmination of the celebration of the victory of love over everything that opposes love. So it's a great feast day, and it's a kind of summary of all that we have been celebrating. In Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit, this divine fire. The Sacred Heart is glowing with divine fire. On Holy Trinity, we celebrate the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a feast of eternal, perfect love. Well, that love is revealed to us perfectly in the heart of Jesus. In Corpus Christi, we celebrate the gift that Jesus makes of himself, his whole self, to us in the form of bread and wine. And this gift is given to us in the heart of Jesus. It's the same gift, in fact. So that's what we're celebrating. And it's a joyful celebration. We must celebrate the love of God. Today's second reading is one of the best expressions of this, of what we're celebrating here, this description of God, or this defining of God. God is love. God is love. Let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we may have life through him. This is why the love of God, which is eternal, always is, no beginning or end, is revealed in time in Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into the world. And so now this divine, perfect, eternal love is made available to us who are not divine and perfect and eternal. In fact, we're fallen. We don't naturally deserve any love, but we are loved because God is, it starts with God. God created us out of love. He's always loved us, and he always will love us. He wants us to know that. That's why he reveals his heart. So this second reading, I think, is well worth pondering on a day like this. It's a reflection on, a meditation on how this love is revealed. Let's continue. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. So this starts with God. We're the recipients first, and then because we're the recipients of such an extraordinary love, we respond with love. Love for God, love for one another. If God so loved us, we must love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us and his love is brought to perfection in us. Well, it's one thing to say God is love and he loves us and we celebrate his love. But when we take a step back from that extraordinary and beautiful mystery, and we start to reflect on our experience, we say, well, love isn't the only thing we experience. There's a lot of evidence that in the world that love does not reign. And so people ask questions, well, if God is love, and if he loves us so much, then why is there so much suffering? Why is there evil? Why isn't this world put together better? Did God somehow make a mistake here? That big earthquake that hit the Philippines on Monday not only shook the land and destroyed some of the buildings, but it shakes our idea of where our security is. So many times I've seen this video of the Jollibee collapsing. People sent it to me, the Jollibee. I don't know why that was the popular one. Maybe because everybody knows a Jollibee. There's about 5 Jollibees within, 5 minutes of us right here. And anyone can imagine being in a Jollibee and then having it shaken to such a degree that it collapses. It's like saying our ordinary life is so insecure, at any moment it can collapse. That's true. But that makes people wonder, where's love in that? Where's love in our ordinary life being shaken, or people being crushed by a collapsing building? Or where's love in wartime? Where's love when people are suffering illnesses? Where's love when our loved ones are suffering, or we're divided? This is the challenge of faith, right? And this is where the gospel takes us. First of all, Jesus in this gospel exclaims his love for the Father, his praise for the Father, who has hidden these mysteries from the wise and the learned, but revealed them to little ones. So the wise and the learned, if they're fixated on their own understanding and their demand that things should be a certain way, will never understand the love of God. Because when we're too wise or too focused on our own understanding, then we impose our idea of what love is on God, and we say, well, he doesn't match our definition. The right way is what Jesus said. The right way to approach this is, first of all, to be little ones. And this is how Jesus says it. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Now that means everybody. Not just earthquake victims, but everybody who lives in this world is burdened, laboring because of an oppressive circumstances in the government, in the economy, in our family life, in the weather, whatever. And then in our own sin condition, even if everything else were perfect, we're not perfect. We lose our temper, we waste our time, we get distracted, we don't focus on what's right. We labor, we're burdened with our own weaknesses. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. This is what the Sacred Heart reveals, a refuge, a divine refuge, a personal space where we can find relief from a fallen world, a world that's dominated by sin. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart. Take my yoke. Not the burden that the world puts on us or that we put on ourselves, but the burden that God gives us, which is the call to love. Love is hard. This feast day doesn't say everything's going to be fine now and everything's going to be easy. No, everything is going to be fine in God, and there's a solution, but it's not an easy process. Jesus, when he invites us into his heart, is also inviting us to take up our cross. So that's the burden. Take my yoke upon me and learn upon you and learn from me. I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, this feast day gives us hope that burdens that seem impossible and are humanly impossible are not impossible to God. This feast day assures us that there's something deeper, more secure, something that will never be shaken by an earthquake, something that will never collapse, something that will never be defeated. That is the love of God for us. The love of God for us absolute is our absolute security, our absolute guarantee. So no matter what else happens, we can find refuge in the love of God. That is, we can find refuge, a secure refuge, in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's what we celebrate today.